Tell us a little bit about yourself as a singer-songwriter. Who is Amy Rigby?
Who am I? Gosh, I wish I knew. I've been, like, it's been decades of trying to figure that out. I write songs and have done since I lived in New York City back in the 70s, 80s, 90s, and started playing music down there, and started out just as a fan going to punk shows at CBGB's and Max's, and during the late 70s, and eventually started writing songs myself. And rather than playing punk music, we started a country band in the early 80s in the East Village of New York City. And it was a good kind of music to play in an apartment building that didn't disturb it didn't have drums, and we didn't disturb the neighbors. So and also I really got into country music in the early 80s, old records from the 30s, 40s, and 50s that I had never heard before, and started discovering just this great kind of songwriting. I guess 60s and 70s too, Loretta Lynn. And I loved the detail of country songs, the kind of real life stories that the songwriters told. And, you know, even though their experience was rural, they were, you know, writing about country life. And I just, you know, I related to stories about working people and people trying to raise a family, make a living. And that inspired me to start writing my own songs.
Did you actually record country music, or have your recordings all been in the sort of indie rock kind of vein?
No, my first album, I had a band called Last Roundup, and we were on Rounder, and it was very much a country album. And you know, went to Nashville to do recording. This was back in the late 80s, and so, yeah, was really kind of committed to playing that kind of music. After that, I had a all-female, a trio called The Shams, a little bit like The Roaches. I don't know if you know them at all, but, you know, vocal harmonies and just really kind of straightforward songwriting and semi-acoustic music, you know, kind of a little rock, a little country, a little folk. And we put out some records on Matador. And then I started making my own records in the mid-90s. And yeah, maybe kind of finally allowed, like, started having drums on my records, started playing electric guitar, and so kind of went more in a rock direction.
And
that's what I've continued to do.
That's when Diary of a Modern Housewife came out in the 90s?
Yeah, that was my first solo record, but I'd already been playing in bands and making records for 10 years before that. So it was, like, a lot harder to get a record out back then. I don't know how old you are, if you remember, but it just was really kind of, it took a couple years to get, you know, to find somebody that, like, knew someone that had a studio, and someone had to know how to work the equipment, and you had to have the money to press up the records. And I mean, you know, in a way, all of that is still true, but it was just a lot more mysterious back then.
Yeah, I guess these days, back then, I remember bands that were trying to make it and that didn't have money, they'd have cassettes and things like that that had a lower barrier to entry, although they still had to record them. Nowadays, I don't know. I marvel at touring musicians today, because I don't know how they do it with the collapse of the record industry. And it just seems like the only artists who are making any money are the huge ones, and everyone else is scrambling for what's left. Is the business model now back to where it was hundreds of years ago, when it was, you know, whatever you could make touring? Or how do people do it these days? How do you do it?
Well, I guess that is a great thing about touring, is that is kind of the only way you can make money. and, you know, it's not for everybody, and but getting in front of people and playing music for them. It's like one of the few things, along with like getting a haircut and having a beer in a bar, is one of the few things you like. You can't do that over the internet. People still like to come together, I think, and hear people actually playing and singing in the room with them. And so I think, you know, nowadays it is, there's a lot more people vying for those, you know, people's attention and vying for gigs. But before, I think, you know, maybe you saw it as a way to try to sell records for your record label. And now you're just like, put the records out yourself and try to sell them at shows. And it actually, you know, it can, it's never been easy, but it can, you know, it can work on a small scale.
And who is this guy, Reckless Eric, who shows up in your bio sometimes in online publicity?
Oh, Reckless Eric. Well, I was a fan of his music. He was on the Stiff label in out of England in the 70s, along with like Nick Lowe, Elvis Costello, The Damned. He just made some great records back then that I really loved. And when they got reissued in the late 90s, I started covering one of his songs, and through that I ended up meeting him, and we eventually ended up getting married and making 3 records together, touring together for almost 10 years. And so yeah, he's he's my husband, and he's also kind of an idol of mine.
Sounds like a great country song if you get a chance to writing it.
I love that. I know it's I hadn't thought of, I have written a song about us called Do You Remember That? And we made a really fun video for that. And it's a really sweet song, but I hadn't thought of, you know, writing it from that other perspective. It's kind of, I like that. I might steal that.
So what can folks in Troy expect on Tuesday?
Well, it's going to be, you know, kind of a rock set. Bass drums, electric guitar, some acoustic guitar. Reckless Eric will be playing bass, and a guy named Doug Weigel, who runs a record store in Kingston, he's going to play drums. And it'll be original songs, real life songs, but you know, I like when songs, you know, maybe the subject matter might be kind of mundane, but I always like look for some sort of transcendence in the music. That's what attracted me to rock music in the first place, was something that kind of like lifts you up, even while it's talking about, you know, how hard it can be. So, you know, all of those things.
Is there anything you'd like to add? I always forget to ask something, so I leave it to you to have the last word.
Sure. I mean, I've enjoyed coming up to Troy a couple times and playing at the River Street Beat Shop. I mean, it's funny because Troy, I grew up in Pittsburgh, and my father worked in the steel industry, and he would travel to these towns that had like steel plants. And I feel like Troy was one of the places it just used to come up, you know, like, where's Dad? Anyway, I've enjoyed visiting Troy a few times since we moved up to this area. I think it's such a beautiful town, like the architecture, and I think it's a really interesting place. So I'm happy to be able to like participate in the town and do something for people who live there and anybody who wants to travel from somewhere else in the area.